Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, Rey has a new look, new updates on Star Wars Celebration, and new news from the novels. It's the Star Wars Report podcast right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. You've come to the right place. It's the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting this side of the Outer Rim. Woo! I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us. We'll be talking to our co-host, Mark Herleman. No, we're not doing the NPR intro to Star Wars Report. But this is, I am your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us this week for the Monday show. Joining me, as always, is the co-host of the program, an all-around awesome guy. I bet he's excited about Inferno Squad. It's Mr. Mark Herleman.
Hello, Riley. Indeed, I am, and I'm very excited. I've noticed that you've been fed your salsa, and salsa makes you very excited.
How's it going, man?
I mean, I have been taking salsa classes, and yes, the joke is, it's like, I said, I joined a salsa club, I tweeted out, and then everyone's like, what flavors of the month did you get? I was like, I get it. And I bet one of those people who tweeted that joke was the guy giggling in the background there. It's the producer. It's Mr. Bruce Gibson. Welcome to the show, sir.
Salsa flavor of the month.
Get it? So it's like salsa, but it's the tasty kind.
I fell for salsa. A similar one. I tweeted out we were watching The Never Ending Story last night and said, I get back, tell me when you get to the end. I'm like, oh, it was great. Like, you missed what I did there. I'm like, oh, I totally did. I'm so sorry, Matt. It was all my fault.
That is amazing. That is astounding. Oh, I'm balancing.
We're taking a second here.
We got a
Oh, he's distant. What?
Yeah, no, I had to balance the levels there a little bit. I was looking at the old Adobe Audition. This is podcasting news with Riley Blanton. All right, let's not mess around. We got 45 minutes tonight. Unfortunately, guys, it's not going to be a full show, but hey, I do want to take a brief second and time out just to thank everyone who's supporting us directly. Because of the patron supporters, patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And I usually don't plug that up top, but I am in the next few weeks because we are organizing the Star Wars Report meetup at Celebration Orlando 2017. This is no ordinary meetup. In fact, it is the variety where you just literally come hang out with us and have dinner at the Cafe 22 Tango Friday the 14th of April. That's the Friday evening of Star Wars Celebration, which now we know will be the evening after we find out what the latest is on The Last Jedi. And I'm assuming it's a new trailer. We'll get into all the celebration updates soon. But yeah, if you want to join us, here's what you need to do. Just email me, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And also CC Riley at StarWarsReport.com. That's another easy way to get straight to me. If you're interested, just subject line celebration dinner. Bruce, we've had more emails. I haven't even had time to forward them or respond this week, but we have had more emails. Good. So we're going to have to be booking. I think we'll need a bigger room. It didn't work. A bigger, it's like a boat. Never mind. Anyway,
that's salsa flavor of the month.
I get it. It's like, oh, it's all right. All right.
There will be salsa at Cafe 22 Tango, just so you know that.
It kind of sounds like a salsa place, right? At least it does to me. All right, let's get into the news.
Something to report. Yes. I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
Send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
That's right. Oh, good heavens. I got to get to the soundboard before it plays the next thing. Okay. Whew. See, this is so weird. Guys, with podcasting on Mac is weird. I'm still getting used to it. And I'm just going to call it, you know, how Bruce is wincing right now as the producer of the show. Like, you would think I would stop calling attention to each of my technical errors, but I'm not. I'm just going to keep like calling it out. Oh my goodness.
It's probably only half the errors you're calling out. There's probably more than we don't know about.
If there's anything I can do to help it. All right, let's get straight into it. This is the big story of the week. The Last Jedi. I found myself, ladies and gentlemen, using the acronym TLJ, and it feels weird still. I'm not used to it. We'll get used to it eventually. But I feel like this is the first week where I've actually been using it, because we've been talking about The Last Jedi so much, because it's official. They've revealed Rey, Finn, and Poe on the box art for the 2017 Force Friday 2 Electric Boogaloo. They're doing the sequel. Well,
technically, that should be the third one, because when they did the Rogue One's Force Friday stuff, it was also on a Friday.
That's right. I thought it was confusing.
Yeah, they didn't market that one as Force Friday 2, but it did land on a Friday, and they did the same exact thing with the marketing where they waited for that day. It was like, well, how come they're not marketing? Now it kind of makes more sense.
Because they called it what? Rogue Friday? Was that what it was?
They did.
I think you're right.
So
clearly we're going to have two different marketing schemes from the saga films to the standalones.
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know. I'm confused now. Rogue Friday, I don't even think that was an official thing. I think we just fans adopted that, and that kind of became the colloquial term. But if you're listening, it's like, hey, Rogue Friday, what's that? That's basically when they release all the cool toys. So September 1st, 2017, right in the heart of Dragon Con. We can all go on a big toy run. Everybody who's going to Dragon Con this year. It's going to be released at midnight again, Friday, September 1st. But the real news is the theories, the clues. The hints. Follow the clues, gumshoes. It's Rey. Rey has a new hairstyle.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
So does Riley, by the way.
That's true. If this were a video show.
Yeah, you really should see it. The whole side and back of his head is totally shaved. He's got like a little chipmunk sitting on the top of his head.
We're like Lando and Lobot. Me with exactly. All my hair and you with all your baldness. Or lack thereof.
But Rey looks a lot better.
Yeah, I was going to say, Daisy's rocking it a little bit more. And she's also
training ready.
And I felt bad because I tweeted this out and then I wondered if I was wrong. I read it as like just from the brief bit that we can see of the shoulders. That's I wanted to say Takodana. What's the planet where Luke Skywalker is? The Last Jedi Temple? For some reason, I just blanked. I don't know why.
I know. All I'm thinking is Jedi Steps!
The Jedi Steps! Ah, people are yelling at their smartphones right now.
Skellig Michael is not
Skellig Michael. It's the last of the Jedi Steps, don't you know? I don't know why that's not Irish. Anyway, but she is in the Jedi Steps outfit. It mostly looks like, I may be wrong. Maybe I'm just reading into it. But she definitely has like the sleeves and the gauntlet looking thing. And then of course she's holding the, famous Skywalker lightsaber in a very kind of prequel-y pose too. I like that. It's like, it's out to the side, but with both hands, and the lightsaber's running horizontally across the chest, and she's got the fierce stare. Not that I've obsessed with this picture at all.
I think about the fact that Luke in the second film that we watched Luke in Empire Strikes Back, we see him training with Yoda. You know, he's got those fatigues on of his. He's getting dirty. He's getting grimy. He's training to be a Jedi. And it makes sense that we're going to see, you know, Rey do the same thing. And this, to me, that's what that's shouting. She's battle ready all the way around. I like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm a big fan. Let's see.
You know, speaking of things you're a fan of, did you hear about John Williams?
What about John Williams?
What? You didn't know? Well, just days after
it was his birthday,
I guess. Yeah, he won his 23rd Grammy Award for The Force Awakens.
Right. It, right on time. Woo! Just like hot off the presses.
Like clockwork.
It was just a year and a half later.
Yeah, why so long? I mean, everything's been Rogue One news and going into The Last Jedi. Now we're getting The Force Awakens news. But I heard
The Force Awakens
is his fifth Star Wars win.
Oh, really? Wow.
Or Grammy. Grammy.
I did not realize that.
It should be.
I was going to say, as it should be. As well it should be. It makes me wonder if a year from now, maybe we'll finally hear about the Rogue One soundtrack. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's well deserved, too, because I was listening to Jedi Steps on the way home today as we were getting ready to do the show.
I got to admit, I've been reading my book. I've been almost done with Catalyst, and I keep putting on the Star Wars playlist. And there was playing one of the Cantina songs when I was at the spot with Hat Abbott, and I'm like, "Oh, this is perfect!" Like, lined up. It was like when you play the Dark Side of the Moon with Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wanted to jump in. So we had John Williams. Bruce, I want you to walk us through this next story. I'm confused about this because I've heard so many different things. Rebels, it's not been officially renewed for a fourth season. Are we getting one? What's the latest? Are we getting a different? I know I've seen these headlines of a different animated series. What's the deal?
Yeah, so essentially there is no news. It's just the fact that we're in season three. There has been no announcement yet about a season four. So all of a sudden people are starting getting worried and speculating. Maybe there won't be a season four. Maybe they're just not going to go any further with Rebels and this will be the last season. And if this is the last season, then rumors start speculating again about, well, maybe there's a new animated series that's going to come out. So we know nothing right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that right now. I hear rumors now that there will be a fourth season.
Well, we do know that Filoni is working on another animated project. That's the only thing we know about another project.
Yeah, because I feel like that it was even mentioned in an official capacity, or if not, it was like a really like a strong rumor on the entertainment trades that he's working on another animated series.
Yeah, I wanted to say it was back when you guys were all at London or around that time.
Yeah, I have a memory of sometime at Celebration. It all kind of blurs together.
Because after that, it was like, oh, no, he's not working on Rebels. And they were like, no, he's still working on Rebels. We just had someone come in for these few episodes. And, you know, we've always been trading off like this. Like, they had to re-explain the fact, like, no, Filoni's always had a hand. He's not always on every single one, but...
Yeah,
there was a big hubba to do about it all, though. It was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
but I've only seen things where people are worried about this being the last season, and you know we've talked about it before about how in a sense, like if that was the plan, that would be great because you could do, you know, like we've had all these trilogies. Why not do it in that regard? But to me, it's like if that was the plan, then why not announce it? You know, I mean, the best last seasons are the final season. Be sure to be here each week as we watch the last four episodes of Game of Thrones ever kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know it's coming kind of thing, that big buildup. And we don't have that. To me, that seems like another missed mark if that was the case. I think they're just holding off on the details on four because they're focused still on Rogue One stuff. I mean, you know, as we're going to talk about a little later here, there's still books that are focused around Rogue One's time frame still, and those are the projects coming out right now.
Yeah.
And I know we've got The Last Jedi coming on the horizon, but the focus, they're still keeping that focus more in the Rogue One territory, and I think that that's the goal. And I think as we get closer to moving back towards The Last Jedi, they'll shift and give us that little bit about Rebels at that point, because Rebels is close to Rogue One.
Yeah, definitely. I have a confession. Do I go there, Bruce? I don't know.
Absolutely. Please, my child, confess to me.
Give us your sins.
Repent.
I have not watched Star Wars Rebels for almost the entirety of the second half of season two. I've not been watching.
Oh, it's getting so good. I haven't watched the last episode, but I am dying to. In fact, like I was like, should I watch it before this? But I was afraid if I did, that would be all I'd be talking about. And there's a lot of stuff that I've been waiting for since the second season that has been playing out.
I watched
all the Mandalorian stuff, man.
Confession.
Did he just say that he hasn't watched the second half of season two?
I meant to say season three.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He was blaspheming it. I know. He was getting real bad.
No.
Non-believer.
The confession centers more on the reason. I watched like the first two or three episodes coming back. And the last few episodes of the first half and then the first few episodes this year. Again, I don't even honestly remember the episodes in great detail. And that's the problem. The episode, I don't think they were good. They were not.
No, there was a definite slow stretch, especially
but
with
I'm
the
used
Hondo
to,
stuff.
Usually like what we'd have is in Star Wars The Clone Wars, there were some not very good episodes that just did not hit home with me. But they always would come back pretty quickly with some really good stuff as well. And that's just not been the case in season three for me. I've been, and it's because I've, and honestly, it's not you, it's me. It's me. It's me, Star Wars Rebels, it's me! Because I have my heart and soul intrigued, interested. My heart was stolen by the possibility of a story where Darth Maul confronts Obi-Wan on Tatooine. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be such an incredible mythological moment, because it could perfectly tie together all the reasons why Luke is in danger, the legitimate reason why Obi-Wan has been protecting him, not just kind of hanging out in some hut, legitimately the protector of Luke Skywalker as he grows, and also the reason why if Maul attacks and if Obi-Wan by his presence brings the worst of the remnants of the Sith upon that humble farm homestead. Ah, just imagine. It explains.
That's your problem. You are not invested in the Rebels' characters, because you're mentioning Luke and Maul and Obi-Wan. You're not mentioning any of the Rebels' characters.
That is the problem, sir. That is the exact problem I've had, is because I've just never been able to connect with the Star Wars Rebels' characters. And so any episodes that aren't about the thing that they teased as this incredible story element, I've just been sitting there kind of twiddling, waiting for this to happen. Well, and I just lost interest. And I'm busy. There's a lot of reasons too that I've not had much time for TV and stuff in the last few weeks. I've been taking on more work shifts, all that. I would figure out a way if it were better storytelling, but not even better storytelling, but if it weren't more engaging characters. And so this arc with it's something about, I'm seeing the promos, it's Sabine and her family, and that's all I know. I don't know anything else about it, but I feel like I need to get back into it, but I need a push. I need a little bit of a kick in the rear end to actually.
You're close. The good news I have for you is everything that we've been waiting for is out of the way, so to speak, at this point, that I'm pretty sure the next episode is going to be that episode. I mean, so you've taken the right break. I mean, and you nailed something with the Clone Wars. There has always been that recipe of the three or four arc episodes that are just bombastic as all nine hells. And then you get the droid episode where they're on the planet, and you're just like, the best thing about it was the fact that it was Steve Stanton that actually voiced Guy Bergeston. You know, I mean, you're just like, oh, can we get back to the good stuff? But that the spot you're at, it sounds like you missed one episode in the transition from 2 to 3. And I think the one episode you missed was that one that got everybody up and going again with the promise of the confrontation between Maul and Kenobi.
Yeah.
And that's been, it's been lingering and lingering and lingering, and all this stuff with Sabine's come forward, which for me has been just, the pie's eye. I'm just like, oh my God, this is so great. I can't believe we're finally getting here. But I think now that that's pushed beyond, I think aside from Hera having anything come forward with her family, which I don't think is going to be the case right now, next stop is Tatooine.
I'm not going to, so I'm going to preface the following little intellectual exercise we're going to take part in as saying, I love Star Wars and I love Star Wars Rebels and I love the people who voice and take part in it. But the legitimate problem with the main Star Wars Rebels characters, here's the best way to do it. Bruce, we'll start with Kanan. What is Kanan's defining moment as a character? What is it that motivates him?
He's one of these rogue is on my mind right now. He's one of these Jedi that is out there by himself. And then he finds someone who has those abilities is force sensitive, and now he's involved in the Rebels. So yep. I think the thing with Kanan is he's found a purpose, which he hasn't had for 19 years.
Found purpose. See, and that is a great...
And that moment, though, real quick, Riley, that moment is right there in the first episode when he goes, kid, I'm about to let everyone in on the secret.
Yeah.
When he's willing to throw away everything that hiding from for that moment. I mean, because you asked for that one thing, and I'm like, well, that's hard to say, because it started out with his desire to do the right thing, and eventually that changed to doing the right thing for not just the galaxy, but also for Ezra. And that's taken some change in who Kanan is to be the teacher that Ezra needs. And that's been a really interesting dynamic as that show has progressed, watching those two work together, and it starts to take on that Kenobi Qui-Gon kind of feel.
Yeah.
Whereas Ezra doesn't have formal training. It's just... Kanan winging it.
Oh, so good. So good. I'm getting choked up just hearing that.
But here's my problem with it. I do have a problem with it. And I think that it's a shortcoming, because a lot of this is implicit and made more powerful by his own master's death, which you can read about in a comic, but it does.
The last battle on.
But that adds the dimension and weight behind his instinct to protect and train and bring up Ezra. So to where a lot of their interactions is reduced to a kind of, just a surface level banter back and forth of like, hey, I'm the sarcastic master and I'm the sarcastic Padawan, and we go back and forth and talk about things that aren't the galactic conflict which they can affect. And the same thing is very much the case for me with like what, and again, I'm way behind. So like, I think we're getting answers to these questions, it sounds like, with Sabine and her family, but like, what's her motivation? Like, why is she a part of the rebellion, and what is she about? Like, the answer to what are they about?
There's a moment in one of the episodes where Hera and Kanan are talking, and it's about Sabine and why Sabine is so closed off. And Hera is kind of pushing Kanan to help her, and at the same time kind of back off of her, because he's trying to do the same thing like he's doing with Ezra for Sabine in getting her prepared. You know, I mean, it's as a father, I really enjoy that dynamic with Kanan, because he's not actually a dad, and yet he has taken on the role of father figure. And it's really cool to watch. I think Freddie Prinze Jr. does a really good job with the cadence and the tone of voice that he uses with the things he says.
Yeah. Well, and I'll take your word for that, because I haven't seen those episodes yet. But I think that there's just for me so far, there's a missing dimension and weight behind a lot of the characters on the crew of the Ghost. And so, see, the confrontation with Ahsoka and Maul has the weight of mythology that's been built over the course of the Clone Wars behind it. And so the answer to the question, what is this person about, is just easier and better to answer when it comes to Obi-Wan or when it comes to Darth Maul. Like, the idea of him exacting revenge on his old foe, like that there's weight. There's something, it's exciting. It's mythological. That's the kind of stuff that I've come to expect from Star Wars. And so I think it's a lot of the Rebels characters have not really developed and have remained surface level in some ways. Now, having said all the negative,
look at Sabine. Sabine is a perfect example of that. I mean, we're just now getting to the point where we got with Kanan in episode one, and we're at the third season in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this, and we're finally there. But you're right, though. I mean, she took a backseat. Hera's taken a backseat. Zeb's gotten bits and pieces, but yeah, it's really been more of the Jedi focus for sure.
Yeah, but having said that, what you said about Sabine and the fact of the dynamic between her and Kanan, that intrigues me. So here's what this is what I need. I need, like I say, a little kick in the behind, a little bit of intrigue and interest. So
like the afterburner.
Now that, I mean, as people are listening, a lot of people have probably paused the podcast and emailed in on why Riley's wrong, which is fine. But I want you to send an additional email. And here's what you want to do. I have a little exercise we're going to all do together. And that is, I want the one sentence pitch, that focuses on the mythology, the characters, the weight of the, what is this person about? So when it's like, Sabine faces her dark legacy and how it conflicts with her moral.
Oh, it's so dark.
With her moral decisions now. And I'm just guessing. I don't know. But like, nice one sentence thing on Sabine, or one sentence. It doesn't have to be any big spoilers or anything. We'll just email those in and we'll see how many I can get flooded in of like, if you're trying to sell, you're selling the episode the best way you can in just like one nice sentence. Send that in. We'll read some of them on air, and it'll be like a little live experience. And as Riley gets both time and interest, I'll start catching up on Star Wars
Hey, speaking of on air, did you hear Harrison Ford had another airplane accident?
Oh, that's a stretch.
So
on air,
pop quiz to you two gentlemen, because I know we're recording this mere days after I released it, but have either of you listened to the Steel Saunders episode?
Yes,
I actually did. Yes, I didn't listen to it in its entirety. I heard that Evil Riley showed up at some point, so I'm like, I tuned out.
Good. That was fun. So on the Steel Saunders, we were talking about like podcasting and you know, the way people talk about and the Star Wars community and stuff like that. And I was just like, man, you know, it's hard to resist sometimes. We just got to get into these stories and usually talk about Harrison Ford. Now,
yes. By the way, I wasn't going to put that in the notes until you said that on that episode and said, well, I'm sure we're going to cover it on the next episode. I'm like, I guess I put it in.
Well, it's interesting, Bruce, because what I find fascinating and very, I think this tells a lot about like the Star Wars community and the future of the franchise, really, if you think about it. Because when it comes to Harrison Ford, he was landing an aircraft at an airport, and there's a moment of confusion where he was directed towards a runway, but instead he actually started descending on a taxiway. In fact, like right over an actual active aircraft. They were in very close proximity to each other. Ooh. And so you're probably asking yourself as a listener, how does this affect, you know, the world of Star Wars through the community, through storytelling, through the mythology, right? We were talking about the mythology. And I was just, you know, thinking about this story's impact. And I just couldn't help but think, did the radar dish get knocked off?
Because
he's Han Solo, and he flew the Millennium Falcon, and he's like, in that one movie, he was like, it knocked off, right? And it was like, he was flying, it's, whoo! It's a joke for you guys. That's a real side slapper.
I'm thinking, you know, it's time for Ford to find a new hobby. I mean, clearly, at this point, three strikes, you're out. Let's not take that risk. You know, let's not try for any foul balls. Like, hey, we could foul all day. No, let's not take the risk, man. You're two outs.
Yeah.
Let's just stop here. Granted, well, you know, some people will say he's done with Star Wars, but at the same time, I mean, we can see some flashbacks.
And Indiana Jones.
And honestly, like this, you know, I'm joking around, right? It's like, and of course, like that's what we're talking about on Steel, but it is actually on a more serious note. Like the fact that he's still flying at that age is just amazing. And seriously, like if you stop and think about what the man, he's like a real life Indiana Jones, and he can be like a serious inspiration to people. And the insurance company was probably like, not a scratch, because it's like, that's what Lando said, right?
Well, I mean, you know, at the same time, there's a scary side of it because, like, my grandmother, right? She just recently fell, broke her ankle. My mom's had to take her across the state. They put her in a nursing home. And she's supposed to have like another 6 weeks or so worth of physical therapy and this kind of stuff. But she is so set in her way. She wants to go back to her home. She's gotten herself discharged and she's not going to be able to take care of herself up there. But it's like, you can't tell somebody, hey, you know, you can't do this anymore if they're not willing to listen to it. And that's the scary thing. It's like, do you stop at this point and say, well, maybe I've pushed my luck too much and I stop. Or do you say, you know, to hell with this, I'm Han Solo, I'm Indiana Jones, I'm going to do it until the time.
I was thinking about, especially both my grandfathers, I mean, they've since passed on, and it was the fact that they were able to, be active and present, and like an inspiration, even if you are older, and it is riskier, but that you're willing to take on that risk. And when you talk to the flight tower, you're like, I gotta finish the castle run in less than 12 parsecs! It's like, because it's like, he flew the Falcon! And,
he flies with destiny.
Yes. Yes, he does. Right,
now I am officially stopping.
Hey, Mark, have you heard about the new Star Wars Aftermath book, Empire's End?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was thinking about flashbacks. I mean, if you lose Harrison Ford, you lose the opportunity for a flashback Han Solo, and you're stuck with having books like Aftermath, Empire's End to get that flashback. And that, I say stuck in a loose term, because this is actually a really good book. I flipped through it so far. I haven't dived into it, but I noticed some throwbacks to the prequel era. I won't spoil much here in any way. Some really cool tidbits on some Legends things that they didn't bring over, but they kind of put the little finger on it, kind of a little wink and a nod towards. Really got a kick out of that stuff. But I found myself about halfway through, and then I got to the Battle of Jakku, and then I read the end of the book in like 3 hours, and I haven't had that experience with a canon book at all. I mean, Dark Disciple and Ahsoka, I flew through both of those, but both of those I had one part where I paused and I couldn't get past it. It took me a while to get back into it. And this one, like I said, I was just flipping through. I was kind of, because, you know, at this point you get a feel for Wendig's writing style. He's got those little interludes and stuff that are kind of like their own little mini stories. So I was checking those out. I heard one of the characters from the prequels had showed up in one, so I wanted to know how that turned out. And then, like I said, I got to that Battle of Jakku, and I couldn't put it down. I was just like, oh my God, this is really, really good. It got really intense. And I, I teared up. I mean, there were some good moments. I was like really impressed with what I had read. I haven't read the whole book, like I said, but I got to that point. Once I got to the Battle of Jakku, I couldn't put it down. And that was impressive. I was very excited about that. So yeah, Empire's End, it's coming out in 2-3 days from now, February 21st.
Man, that's awesome, man. And I can expect you guys going to be talking about it on Beyond the Films too, right?
Yes, at some point we're a little behind. I'm almost done with Catalyst, and then we're going to jump into that and then go into Rogue One, and that's the next one on the docket after
that. Well, I have a question. I haven't read Catalyst. I'm wondering if I should go back and read Catalyst, because I did love Jim Lucino.
The characters in Rogue One, if you liked Galen Erso, if you were interested about Lyra Erso, and if you loved Krennic.
Oh, Lyra.
Yes, and if you love the way Krennic talks, especially, oh my God, he comes to life. Lucino really captures Krennic.
Does he?
And I think the interactions between Krennic and Tarkin are, for you as somebody who hasn't read that many of the books and stuff, I think you would really get a kick out of it, because it's very enlightening. It's not what I would have thought, and yet it brings to life when you see Tarkin show up and take control of the project. You're like, oh, that's so brilliantly played. So it does add that background to it. But otherwise, I think you could probably get by without reading it.
Awesome. That's actually good to know, because I probably won't. Like, that's the thing. As I said, like, time, it's not going to happen anytime soon. Maybe I'll get some time this summer to be catching up on stuff. But
and maybe one day you'll watch Rebels, too.
I mean, someday. One of these days.
But there's one more bit of news here that actually I would insist you probably try to read.
Okay.
And that's coming in July 25th. Christy Golden is going to write Inferno Squad, and this is going to be about an elite Imperial squad and their mission following the events of Rogue One and A New Hope, which is kind of cool. It talks about, you know, how the Rebellion may have heroes like Jyn Erso and Luke Skywalker, but the Empire has Inferno Squad. They're going to be on a mission to infiltrate and eliminate the remnants of Saw Gerrera's partisans, which of course made me wonder, like, okay, so did Saw had more than one base, or did we get like
and
two
also,
teams? Did he make it off?
Is partisans the best insult they can come up with? Like, the Empire is worried about the partisans. Wait, they disagree along a political line about how to appropriately tax the populace. That's what it sounds like to me. But I know what they mean when they say Saw Gerrera's partisans, which I don't know. That's the one part that didn't interest me about the excerpt. It's like, no, not at least, you know, Saw Gerrera is out of the picture. But
see, for me, the partisans, like, that word was only used for Rogue One to describe Saw Gerrera's X-Wings. They were called partisans X-Wings. And I was just like, what's with the partisans? Who are these partisans?
Yeah.
And they never really went into that detail ever. And I was just kind of like, huh.
Yeah. The Trade Federation will... I forget the quote. I was going to do the quote from Phantom Menace. All right. So here's the deal, guys. I was looking at my clock, and I just realized how we're almost out of time. But I refuse. You know what? I was thinking about this. It's been a long week. I was kind of tired. I was like, I don't want to go on too long. And then I went on the worst series of jokes about Han Solo and Harrison Ford flying a thing. And I'm kind of feeling a little better now. So here's the deal. I need to go refresh on water and grab some coffee. But I'm saying, let's do a special extended edition, if you both gentlemen have time, because we've got at least 3 or 4 more big stories this week. And the biggest, baddest segment of Boba's Bounty ever that we have to do. And we've got new rumors and stuff about The Last Jedi. And I just don't want to leave it on the table. How does that sound, guys?
That sounds delicious.
Bring it on.
Highly nutritious.
Delicioso and highly nutritioso. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to scroll right to here and just play. Oh, what should we play? let's do the Death Star medley and just have a little bit of friendly music. Oh, that's way... I forgot the Death Star medley starts with, like, the trash compactor type of thing. No. We need to do Battle of Hoth. There we go. Let's crack open some Battle of Hoth.
Some of my favorite video games are set to that soundtrack.
Oh, Battlefront memory. So Riley's going to go grab a cup of coffee and some water, and we'll be right back with you guys.
We'll be right back.
Let's see
that
here.
That was entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. All right. Glad it worked out. Yeah. Let me pile that on down. Hey, well, look at that. Look at that. If I don't know, but I feel kind of weird, guys. Like,
how weird do you feel? I mean, do you feel like weird enough that you made a petition to Lucasfilm about teaming up and creating a Netflix show of the Knights of the Old Republic, and then had Pablo kind of mock you weird, or
almost that weird? Which is something that we're going to talk about right after we say.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Don't get cocky.
Good advice. Anyway, yeah, what were you saying, Mark?
That was a great clip. There was a change.org petition actually out there asking for Lucasfilm to team up with Netflix to create a Knights of the Old Republic television series, which you and I, we've talked about going back even to the days of the Bothan Report.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, even going far back as EUcast.
Yeah, back
when
in the
you
day.
And I sat down with Baldassarroni himself, and we had asked him a question that's very similar to this, so big that they asked us to pull the entire interview based on one thing he said.
That was first time.
What was that? What did he say?
This is the first time. We can say this too now. I don't care.
Yeah. We asked that question specifically. We're like, why can't we do this? And he had a beautiful answer as to why they could and couldn't. I mean, it was glorious.
So, yeah, Mark's referring back way back in the day before we started the Star Wars Report. So, and then before we did like a little monthly thing that was terrible, the Bothan Report. You can't even find it online anymore. It's kind of sad. It's like history. If you want to hear, hey guys, I'm Riley Blanton. I like talking about Star Wars. Mark, what'd you think of the new Old Republic trailer? That's probably a terrible impression, but it's about as bad as I was back in those days. And before that, we did the EU cast for EU Cantina for a short while. And during that time, I was all like, I was gung-ho, man. I was like a 17-year-old ready to go conquer the world of Star Wars podcasting. So I was like, I'm going to do original reporting. I'm going to be ready, man. We had these amazing Old Republic trailers coming out. We had, it was not The Deceived. It was the second one, whichever that one
Hope.
Was. Hope. Thank you.
There was Hope. And Deceived.
I went to
Deceived
the,
was a good one, though.
That's still to this day, by the way.
We were rocking that one for a long time.
You've been deceived.
Because it didn't have the nostalgia factor, it didn't make it. But in terms of just the quality of the trailer itself, that's the greatest Star Wars trailer that's ever been done. I still say so. They're so good. And so, like, I was like Mr. Star Wars journalist, and I like looked up the IMDb of everybody I could find, right? And so I literally found the animation studio that they hired to do the cutscenes that BioWare was getting to do these amazing trailers. And I just literally cold emailed anybody I could find, listed on the website of the studio. And we got a response, and we interviewed one of the animators who talked about the process and the time and like how they go into studio and they have actors do the movements and stuff. That's why it looks so realistic. But in the interview, you kind of like casually mentioned about, whether or not they were going to be doing all the cutscenes for the upcoming game and whether or not there was any future for like seeing television or film in this style. And he had like a really long answer on like how for big marketing budgets, we can do these short 3-4 minute trailers at this incredible quality, but you really need like a big budget film budget to do it. And there are a lot of people who weren't convinced that Star Wars was ready for that. His opinion as an animator and talking about the industry and how this stuff works. And it was great, but also it got us in trouble because it was too much info that wasn't actually supposed to get out. So like, that's happened to me a few times throughout my career in podcasting, my still fairly young career in this medium. And, that was the first time that I got the little tisk tisk, the wrist slap of like, now you're revealing too much about the thing, because it got picked up on some sites and stuff, and that's how it goes. Anyway, I digress. What were we talking about?
Currently we are at, let's see, 1,71,392 or so supporters. I'm probably saying that number completely wrong, but they've only need to go about 29,000 more to reach their 200,000 goal. So they're almost there. But yeah, Pablo had a little good tongue-in-cheek tweet back. You know, like I'm mixed on it. Like on one hand, I find it really funny.
You're not
the other
mixed.
One, I'm like,
Mark.
Oh man, it hurts.
Listen, as you those words came out of your mouth, I saw you wince. You're not mixed on the feeling. It hurt. Pablo's snark did hurt Mark's heart. God bless his soul, just a little bit. Although did
Pablo?
We were in a
I'm
private.
Take you camping for this.
And of course, we're talking about. I feel like because. In some ways, I hate it. So we're talking about, of course, Lucasfilm Story Group, Pablo Hidalgo. Whenever we say Pablo, I feel like that's a shorthand everyone on Twitter knows, that not everyone listening to the podcast. So,
true.
So, but to be fair, I was like, yeah, I was all, Bruce, I was getting all up in arms. I was like in our little, our show chat. I was like, yeah, what if people want a show? Because, Pablo was tweeting like, it was a semi-political tweet that was kind of funny about the crowds at the inauguration. It's like, oh yeah, the number of people who want look at all the people who want the Old Republic show. I was like, all right, come on now. But actually, Bruce was kind of like, all right, guys, come on, it's just a joke. And so I put away my pitchfork, Bruce. I was just gonna go out and say, how dare you, sir, make fun of a passionate subgroup of Star Wars fans.
I know, because I thought he's like, Mark's in the corner crying. Nobody puts Mark in the corner and makes him cry. I'm like, I love Pablo. I know he didn't mean to make me cry.
And yet Riley makes collectors cry all the time when he says, don't do it. Don't do
it's
it.
It's so true. I remove all of those instincts of not offending or upsetting any subgroup of fandom until it comes to the idea of collecting exclusives at a Star Wars celebration, in which case I'm like, no, stop it.
No. So if you're not collecting at Star Wars Celebration, what are you doing? Probably on Friday, April 14th, you'll see Kathleen Kennedy and Ryan Johnson on stage.
You will.
Bravo.
Yes.
Sir. Yes. Jedi, the official announcement for the Star Wars The Last Jedi presence at Celebration will not be on Thursday. This is a new thing. They're announcing it on Friday. It's going to be the big panel. They're going to have a lot of, quote, special guests, a.k.a. The woman who has stole this Star Wars fan's Star Warsy heart, Daisy Ridley. Daisy Ridley, she's going to be on stage, and I'm going to be there.
With the hairdo?
I'm going to be there.
But the smoking gun, though, is will Gwendolyn Christie be there? You know that's what all the Captain Phasma fans want to know.
Hey, remember when that was a thing we used to do when we thought that
I couldn't help it. We were getting so nostalgic. I mean, we went back three.
Hey, remember when Captain
of the show?
I remember when for like 3 months on the show we made that a bit because we really thought that Captain Phasma was going to be a big deal. Once upon a time,
I'm still like, is she going to make it? Did she get out the planet? I mean, Kylo made it. We saw old Hux get out of there. I mean, maybe Hux took a chunk of the base that had the trash compactor in it. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this will be Kathleen Kennedy, Ryan Johnson, Friday, April 14th. Thank goodness they're doing the wristband thing. So it'll be the kind of thing we can probably get up and leave pretty early in the morning to get wristbands. I would say that I would say we could see if there's any press seating, but here's the deal. Those are big, big panels, and I don't think that's going to happen. So we're going to be getting up early with all
of
you.
Well, maybe
guys.
Not for you, but for me, because I'm big press.
Well,
I'm
and press. You've made a few connections that we're going to talk about here in Boba's Bounty, all right? All right, we'll save it. Save it, sir. Save it. but yeah, so we've got, do we do rumors? No, we got it. Well, I mean, I was about to like transition to our next story and then I realized, oh, wait just a darn second. It's actually time, ladies and gentlemen, time for Boba's Bounty.
He's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
Hey, at least, guys, don't complain to... Oh, goodness. I let it slip through. Hey, guys, at least you can hear the audio. Like, that's a thing. That's a big improvement from previous.
You might get more audio than you anticipated, but you can hear. Right.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the evening where we talk about Star Wars. We talk about what we've seen. what we've, you know, smelled, spotted online, listened to. You know, it's just a fun, it's a fun little ditty we do each week. It's a way to connect with just our everyday fandom. And then some of us just go to Lucasfilm. That's like, you know what? You know, I saw this YouTube video this week. It was pretty cool. Or, oh, I read the excerpt for the next Aftermath book. And Bruce is like, guys, so I was having lunch at Lucasfilm. that was the thing.
Well, I'm spoiling because Bruce. I felt like my last Boba's bounties have been kind of weak. So I had to make up for it.
I brought my A game, nay, my G game.
Right. Bruce, tell us all about it. You went to Lucasfilm. It's amazing. I said, well, awesome. You saw the Yoda fountain and you had lunch there. And it's, I'm not jealous at all. How'd it go?
Yeah, I was in San Francisco and Lucasfilm called me and they said, aren't you the executive producer of the Star Wars Report? Please come in, come by.
Stop.
No, it didn't happen that way. No.
I was going to say, wait, what?
They said, we want to know everything about Mark and Riley. I went to Lucasfilm and Nick Anastasio gave me a tour around the facility. We had lunch there in the cafeteria. Great taco salad. I really enjoyed the taco salad. They ran out of chicken, so I had the beef, but the beef was well seasoned. I liked it a lot. We sat out on the patio overlooking at the Golden Gate Bridge. And we just hung out there for a while, and then we went to the Lucasfilm store. And I'm sorry, guys, I didn't buy anything because I was already up to $300 worth of merchandise. And I was like, oh, crap, I'm already spending too much money. So went by there. So, yeah.
Stop. Have a Bruce. Store.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
What? For spending $300?
Well, I'm just saying you caught yourself and stopped. Self-awareness is the first step, everybody. I'm just saying, in my glorious crusade of stopping the crazy Star Wars collecting. All right, Star.
He's going to stop us one collector at a time.
Next time I go back, I'll get you something. But then we just, you know, toured the office, the campus, outside, inside. I mean, I don't know what all to say except for, you know, there's tons of movie posters. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen this stuff on I mean, like in the beginning of the Star Wars show. The Star Wars show!
This week on the Star Wars show!
Those hallways, they're whipping through real quick. I was like watching it the other day. I was like, oh yeah, I remember going through those very same hallways. And you see Stormtrooper. actually, look at
you were awestruck, I could tell.
I was. I mean, there was just so much, and not just Star Wars stuff, but all kinds of movie stuff that ILM has done over the years, and there was pictures and stuff. It was just, you know, it was a great, fun day, and I thank Nick for inviting me in and giving me a tour, because he doesn't know this, but before he got there, I tried to get in earlier, and security wouldn't let me, so I waited till he got there, and then when I saw the security person, I waved at them. I'm like, I'm in now.
Did you give him, like, one of those little creepy smiles of, like, I paid this guy?
Okay. that's amazing. All right, I do have like a couple of questions. So, I've seen from documentaries and stuff. I've seen the ranch, Big Rock Ranch. I've seen Skywalker Ranch, and I know that there's a very specific sort of, think of it as the filmmaker's commune vibe. Is it, how corporate does it feel, or does it still have sort of the renegade Lucas feel when it just comes to the way the design of the building? I'm just like, creatively, what is it like? I'm just curious. Well,
it felt like a creative environment. I would say that I didn't see people in, you know, suits or anything like that. I mean, everybody was pretty casual, you know, business casual on the casual side of things. I mean, everybody's desks and the walls are just filled with all kinds of Star Wars and other movie things. I mean, it's definitely like this geek environment. I mean, it has a little bit of a corporate feel because it is an office,
yeah,
but it feels like a creative environment and allows them to, you know, because, you know, it's in this park in the Presidio, and it's just this beautiful area that you can just walk outside and go sit under a tree and think if you needed to, or just chill out. And yeah, it was very nice. See, I would like to work in that kind of environment.
See, that's my true dream one day. I don't care. I don't know what company it would be or what environment, but I want that kind of sweet, creative, thought-provoking work environment. And now I'm looking around in the makeshift studio I have here. I'm like, man, I need some work here. As I look around, like, I'm seeing the piles of wires and the remnants of half-built Lego sets. And
oh, your studio's got nothing on mine. Now, Bruce, I've got a Sith load of questions for you, which means that only two there are. question one. When you left, did they give you a pat-down search? Because I heard you said there were a lot of collectibles there. So I would think, like, somebody's going to be worried, like, you know. Like they put up that starships, like, hey, wait, Bruce is coming. He's a collector. We got to everybody make sure that the dust marks are there. Nobody's got R2-D2 footprints, right?
Well, you know, a lot of
we're getting the crackle.
But I did almost walk out with my visitor badge.
Oh.
My visitor badge that lets me beep into things. All of a sudden, I was just like, oh, my gosh, wait, we got to leave this behind.
I mean, oh, nice.
Or and do, the hang on, was, or do you?
Did they tell you about Sidious coming back as a clone?
I will just say this. I cannot comment on that.
All right. I will not confirm or deny anything. Right, my lips are sealed. I saw what Vader did about the starships.
But I will say that Star Wars Report business cards have been left behind.
Oh, wait, ooh, really?
Well played.
Hey, yeah. He watched Bruce was just like leaving him around like in the bathroom sinks and just like he's just like
I was actually rolling them up in the toilet paper so they'd fall out when people were in the bathroom.
Oh, that's amazing. I don't even think we could. Mark, I have nothing that I can add to this segment. Do you have anything you wanted to mention?
The only thing I really have, like, I mentioned Empire's End before, so I won't really go in on that. And last week I hinted at it, I teased at it, I talked about we would talk about a Boba's Bounty, and then we never had a Boba's Bounty. So it was the Qui-Gon's journey is that I'm calling it. Mm-hmm. I decided I'm going to grow my hair out to be Qui-Gon next Halloween for my son. Uh-huh. And I actually finally was able to pull it into a ponytail, which of course I was mocked at, and Riley noticed it immediately right at the beginning of the episode too. It's definitely something to get used to. I barely have it. I'm almost there, but it's a long and torturous process. And with you seeing you with all the hair shorn off like a baby sheep or something, like I have those moments where I want to just grab a straight razor and go to town. I mean, right now my sideburns are even getting thick, but I'm just like, I'm about to go on our winter camp. I'm like, I need to have that thick layer. And then I keep telling myself, you know, I'm on the Qui-Gon journey. I got to get that hair kind of long. I've got just the right beard for Qui-Gon. And it really came down to, I always cosplay as a Jedi. I throw on my Jedi robe every Halloween. It's like my open invitation to be a Jedi all day long. And nobody says anything aside from, oh, look, it's Obi-Wan. And I'm like, really? My beard is not as awesome as Ewan McGregor's beard was. I would wish it was. Well, I really do.
Mark, competes. It competes with the one from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. I will give you that. But I noticed, like, you know, where I can't grow, where Obi-Wan really could, I've got a Qui-Gon thing going. But I don't have the long hair, so... That's where I'm at. Slowly growing it out one day at a time.
Nice.
Definitely no Lucasfilm journey. That's for sure.
Nice. That's, yeah, I like that. And I like you've got a reason it's not just to be Qui-Gon, but you've got like a costuming goal for Halloween this year. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't just want to be a hippie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, goodness gracious, good heavens, great balls of fire. The episode has almost come to a conclusion. In fact, here's the deal, folks. There's the music. We're going to run through the music, give you the plugs for this week, tell you a few last key pieces of information regarding the celebration dinner and a few other items as far as ways that you can keep in touch with us throughout the week. But after we do the end credits here, if you will, we're going to be talking some TLJ, some TL, I don't know.
C.
Yeah, I can do that. I don't know the sign language for J.
No, we're talking some Jedi. Yeah. That'll really confuse them.
The Last Jedi. We've got some new rumors.
Oh my God, Riley, what if the third movie is a Sith title?
What does it mean? Well, we're going to talk about the latest and the greatest, and who's kidding? It's all making Star Wars stuff. So it's going to be a fun little speculation station, but that's after the music. Just want to say big, big, big thank you to everyone who tuned in this week. It's been a fabulous, fabulous episode. A fun, wild and woolly episode, I dare say. If you didn't catch it, catch the special long form interview that I conducted with Steele Saunders. It's in the feed. It's the previous episode, episode 264 of the Star Wars Report. We had a great time where I definitely alluded to the absolutely awful Harrison Ford skit that I did in this show. And we also talked about fandom and all kinds of great stuff. Man. Where else to go? Where else to go? Just here's what you want to do. Follow us all. It's at Star Wars Report on Twitter, facebook.com/Star Wars Report. Email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. That reminds me, get those emails in. Join us for dinner at Celebration. We're making those final arrangements in the coming weeks, so get in now. Email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. We'll get you the links on how to RSVP and all that good stuff. Join us at the Cafe 22 Tango. In Orlando, this Star Wars celebration. Also, very important, we've gotten a few new ones and we always appreciate it. We need more, and that's because it's the one most effective way to help get the word out about the Star Wars Report podcast. And that is iTunes. Regardless of whether you are a native Apple iTunes user or use another podcatcher, just log in with your iTunes account. If you're using the podcasts app, the Apple Podcast app, you can do it right there in the app. And just simply leave us a rating or review. That really helps get the word out about the show. Just go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. That takes you straight to our iTunes page. That's about it, folks. That's about all you can say. Last little personal shout-out. Follow Bruce Gibson. It's at Admiral_Rex on Twitter. Mark is at IllogicalRogue2. I am at TheRileyGuy, R-I-L-E-Y. And that's where you can follow us and keep up throughout the week and interact. We always love hearing from you guys, and we do really appreciate everyone who's tuned into the show. Big, big thank you as well to everyone directly supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's literally what keeps us afloat, and we do appreciate everyone who's supporting us there. That puts the wraps on this episode. Remember, may the Force be with you, and... many Bothans died. They died to bring you this podcast. We'll see you, folks. Till next time.
It was a lot to me.
That actually kind of worked. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is... the segment where we sing about "This Is Not the Opinions Expressed" of the Star Wars Report, or Disney, or Lucasfilm, or the Star Wars Show, or something else. I don't know why I'm so bad at this. I'm so bad at this. Try to make a rhyme and I just can't. So I guess I'll just say I shan't.
Should've went with missed.
That's a good point, Mark. It's a good point. Worst Jabba flow ending ever.
Well, I don't know, man. We run and roll.
How long did we go? I just stopped looking at the clock. How long did we go?
About a minute and 15, or an hour and 15 or so far.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Now the good stuff, though. Oh, my God. All these tiddly rumors.
I know. Yeah, because that's just the beginning,
which one,
folks.
Which should we tackle first? should we go chronological and go with the Han Solo type rumor?
Let's go with the Han Solo type rumor. Mark, tell me about it. I have no idea. I've not looked at any of these.
So when I first heard about it, and I gave our producer extraordinaire Bruce Gibson props right out the gate. He picked the right article. Most of them were saying, "We've got our first female droid coming." At least I think it was for the Han Solo film. Maybe it was for The Last Jedi. But either way, they were talking about it being the first one. And it's like, well, wait a minute here. Even in canon, we have droids like Flo, TC-17 or TC-14, whatever her name was in The Phantom Menace. I mean, we've got established long history of clones, or not clones, of canon female droids. So, of course, Slash Films, they went back as the first significant female droid. So that's kind of cool. Also, one of the things that I learned in this article was, pardon me there, I'm eating my dinner at this hour, BB-8 was originally supposed to be a female droid, and that J.J. Abrams had changed that last minute. And I stop and I think about that, and I'm like, man, I kind of wish they would have left that. I kind of think BB-8 would have worked better as a female droid. Like, the more I think about it all the way around, like...
Bruce, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What's going on here? Like, who's going to be what in what movie?
We're talking about the female droid. This will be in the Han Solo movie.
Okay, I saw headlines about this.
Yes.
This is rumor?
It's not. Well, the rumor is that there's an actress that's been cast in this. It's Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, Phoebe! Yeah!
She's been cast, but the rumor is that she's playing a droid in the Han Solo movie.
Where?
That's the rumor.
Makes you
wonder if it's the droid like they had in one of the original Han Solo trilogies. He had a droid. I want to say her name was Kate. She was like a housekeeper droid that he had originally. So I wonder if, and I think that that's the one where it dealt with Gareth Shrike, who they've got Woody Harrelson to possibly accidentally say he was, or maybe he misunderstood the question when he said that Shrike was who he's playing. But if that's the case, and that's the trilogy they're going with, that's the one that dealt with Han being on Yelsa, with the Hutts, Brea Theron, which could be who our great Emily Clark is playing. So if they go that route versus the other one where he was the Imperial cadet and stuff that happened later in his life, I think that that's probably a good place to jump in. It comes back to that question of how old is he going to be? But I think the fact that you look at Aaron Alderite, you're like, well, he's clearly going to be close to 19, 25 or so. I mean, that actor's got a kind of a versatile age limit there. I haven't seen as many films as you, Riley. I mean, you could probably testify to that more than I.
Yeah, he's definitely got like the 21, 22-year-old look in Hail Caesar, which is the one film I've seen him in. But yeah, I could see that. I'm looking for some reason, I was scrolling through our notes, gentlemen, and I, for the life of me, I'm looking for like our list of rumors, and I we're past
at the very bottom.
Yeah, look past Pablo's tweet, and then it's shortly after that. It's in red.
Oh, see, that makes sense now. I scrolled right past it.
Red.
All right, so we also have... I like that. Let's talk about we have two more items. They're both Last Jedi themed. I want to talk about a glimpse into Finn's role in The Last Jedi. Now, again, I did hear the stuff about a little bit. I saw some headlines on the Han Solo film thing, but tell me about the details we've got on Finn's role in The Last Jedi. Is there much of a I'm nervous. Any big spoilers?
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember because it's been a few days since I read this one, so I can't remember the whole detail. But I do know that I think we see him as a going on a Super Star Destroyer undercover.
Okay.
So he's on like a secret mission onto a Star Destroyer.
Interesting.
Yeah, pics of him in Imperial fatigues. And in fact, one of the things talked about, he is recognized by a stormtrooper that they think could be Tom Hardy's character. The news of Finn's traitor moment and his betrayal of the First Order hasn't leaked around, and Tom Hardy's character actually congratulates him on his promotion. That gives you an idea that if he does this, he may actually go undercover. I mean, imagine in that regard. He is, last we see him, he's with the Resistance. He is in the fold of the Resistance. Who better to go undercover? I mean, they have no idea that he's turned. Put him in. Let him see how far he can get. He is your mole. That is a great role for him. Plus, Rey probably doesn't know. Imagine her running into him and seeing him on a bridge of someplace, all donned up as an Imperial officer giving orders, like, you know, that's got to be a heck of a moment.
So could Finn be a double agent?
Well, that's kind of what I hope.
Double agent.
But I mean, working really for the First Order.
Oh, I don't think so. I think he's learned that lesson. I don't know. From everything that moment where he takes the helmet off, he's all sweaty and stuff. I think that was it. He was done at that point. I don't think he'd go back aside from like this. And
well,
I think that with
Rey
being gone, she's going off to be the new generation of the Jedi. Finn feels like he's got to live up to her example.
Are you sure she's the next generation Jedi? Because this is called The Last Jedi. I'm just wondering if we're going to get something different that
Bruce,
deals with the Force.
Bruce, you're shooting my horse, man.
Well, here's the other thing is that this is trending on Twitter, so I noticed it. The Last Jedi, the international title cards came out. And so the Spanish and French versions is Los Últimos Jedi. And so Últimos definitely means plural Jedi. So like all the international versions are saying the Last Jedi is plural. So at least we've confirmed that so far.
So it is plural. Jedi is plural.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Well, how do we confirm? I don't understand how that's confirmed because even in English, Jedi is plural, but we don't know.
Well, so here's in English, it can be plural or singular. In Spanish, the only way you have to specify plural or you have to specify plural or singular, and they specify plural in the Spanish and French and like Italian and a couple other languages too. So,
well, holy cow! I guess that's pretty dark. I mean, we just kind of went from the realm of speculation to we just at least played something a little bit of a fact. Like,
okay, well, let me throw this out. I haven't mentioned this, and maybe other people have talked about this because I'm sure all kinds of speculation everybody hits at some point. But when I first heard the title "The Last Jedi," my first thought was Luke, and then I thought, well, maybe it's Rey. And then I thought, oh yeah, the whole plural thing. I'm like, but what if it was plural Jedi? I can't imagine that Luke and Rey are the last Jedi. So I thought, is this the return of Jedi Force Ghosts coming back to us? It's the return of Obi-Wan and Yoda and Qui-Gon that and Anakin. That's the return. Those are the last Jedi.
Bruce, you blow my mind. Hold on. We haven't heard anything about Rebels Season 4 because we're going to find out in that movie before we find out that Season 3 is over or right around the end of it. Bam, there walks out Ezra, Kanan, and Ahsoka, and you're like...
Actually, I'll be more like, it's freaking...
No, you won't, Riley. You'll be like, what did people tell me that episode was about? Because I haven't seen it yet.
Well played.
That's so true. It's so true. I'll be like, well, but what is the character really about? That's what I'll be asking. I'm just like a
Can you tell? Give me the elevator pitch for that episode.
Yeah, what would you like? What if you were to try to get? I'm so terrible. That is amazing. All right, and we also have Kylo Ren's TIE fighter. Kylo Ren has a TIE fighter.
What?
Ooh, so, yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen it, but, well, no, I guess we have because there's been, like, Force Awakens, there were TIE fighters that were developed that never were used.
We saw this design, though. I'm looking at the leaked images. Ooh, there's some leaked images.
I did not steal these from Lucasfilm.
But they're leaked for The Force Awakens, not really Episode 8, right? I mean, I'm
right.
not seeing
But they never throw anything away.
Yeah. And that's the beauty there because, yeah, you look at that one, the first one here. And I'll be sure to add it in the show notes. The one where it's kind of diving down, and immediately, you know me, I'm like grabbing my TIE fighters and stuff here on the desk. I want that. I want that in the Hot Wheels. I want that in the diecast.
Yeah.
In the Micro Machine.
Although in the interest of not ticking off Lucasfilm people too much, we'll just toss in a link. If you want to be spoiled, you can be, but we won't post it directly on the site.
Yeah, I'll have image one and image two.
It's like
you can
coded,
see it from there. Because that image
blue.
One, you see, it looks like if not one, if not two, it's kind of hard to tell from the angle, but it looks like they're drop down guns. It looks like one is dropped down and the other one looks like it's still up, or it could be the angle that the ship's at. They're at the same location, but those look like mini type of Gatling gun type of things. Like a hardcore gun placement.
It reminds me of the. And again, pardon my ignorance of weapon systems. It's like I believe it's a 50 caliber machine gun that the A-10 Warthog carries, which is an air-to-ground Air Force attack plane and attack jet fighter. And it is amazing. And that's kind of what this looks like, where it looks like there's beefy guns on the side. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not too spoilery, but So yeah, we've heard
a Tron-like look to it though. When you look at it from the backside, I mean, there's something cool about the way that they've got the foils. You know, the solar panels really look more like solar panels than ever before. But the way they lay down, like, I don't know, there's something about it that gives that Tron-esque feel of the little fighters that you see in Tron, the first one.
The quote directly from Making Star Wars is, "We've heard a credible rumor that Star Wars Episode 8's Kylo Ren has a personal ship. The ship, like some of his new costume, will seem a little familiar as the First Order TIE advanced. His ship is slightly unlike his grandfather's used in the attack against the Death Star Trench. The fuselage is sort of pill-shaped like the TIE Striker in Rogue One." And that's kind of what I remember seeing in Rogue One, that first image has a very TIE Striker-y look. And they actually built the ship physically at Pinewood, according to some of their sources. So,
And the second one is from Houndstooth. They point towards a Lego set coming for the First Order TIE Bomber.
Oh, then you know
Friday.
Then we know that's going to leak out like five minutes from now.
Yeah, exactly. Lego has been the number one thing for ship design.
Yeah, forget
we knew about the Ghost 2 through their Lego. We knew about how the Ghost docked with the Phantom. I mean, all of that. But yeah, you'll be able to find the First Order TIE Bomber at your local Lego supplier. Force Friday Lego sets aren't always a guarantee for a major role in the film, but the vehicle will no doubt at least be visible.
Tell that to people who bought the First Order Snow Speeder.
Yeah. Deleted scene.
I've got that thing sitting around here somewhere. I feel like I want to angrily pull it out and just be like, barely in the movie.
It still exists. It's in the novelization, isn't it? I think it is.
Don't ask
me. It is. It was in the novelization. Yeah. It also was put in the comic.
There you go.
It's better than Constable Zuvio, where thankfully Pablo Hidalgo himself was like, right there, that 1 second. He's in the film. We're done.
But that's okay, because he also had a book. So
Constable Zuvio, A Star Wars Story, coming to theaters 2017. I mean,
I can't wait.
Yeah, he's no good to me dead.
That's the subtitle. You know, that's what we would be. It's interesting because, what is it? The Lord of the Rings. This will be a fun little thing to. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you there, Mark? Huh. Mark,
as long as you just say I'm doing this.
What did you say? We lost you for like 10 seconds.
Oh, I was just asking. We're in the rumors section, so doesn't that also mean I could drop a spoiler in this section? It'd be kind of okay.
It depends on how it depends. If you think Riley will personally be upset, that's your only metric. I don't care about anything else.
I'm gonna guess this is from Empire's End. Is that right?
Empire's End.
All right.
Okay. Oh. So Riley's not going to read it.
Oh,
I will, Riley's but I'll listen.
Read it, and it has to tie in with the Clone Wars.
Well, you got me there. I'm now intrigued. Right.
Here is your spoiler warning, people that don't want to know about this very, very trivial little thing. Very little, has nothing to do with much of anything else.
All right, Michael Morris, turn off the show.
Yes, Michael, this is your jump off.
We're
point,
doing
buddy.
Specific right. call outs.
Yes. Embo and Dengar show up.
What?
I was like, Embo, for me, I'm an Embo fan. So I was like,
he's like
Embo!
My favorite bounty hunter.
Cool.
Is that in the interludes or is that in the story?
Hey, I believe that is
in the story. It's not interludes. It is actually a part of the story. Jazz Hermione, her aunt, Suki, ran with them once. And so it's part of that tale. And I'm actually really interested to find out if Wendig got some of that from Filoni, because he thanks them and stuff. So I'm kind of wondering if some of these might be that behind the scenes Clone Wars stuff that was canceled that Filoni had an idea with and gave it to him and he ran with. Cause pretty cool. It's a very small little subplot. But I was, you know, I'm a huge Embo fan. So to find out that he shows up, that's kind of cool. And there are a lot of little things like that, that Wendig did in this that I really appreciated in the book. It was probably of the things Chuck Wendig has done. This is my favorite so far.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
All right. But here's something to really, really, since we're, you know, who would have thought that I would be the Chuck Wendig aftermath hype man, but I'm about to be. Because you guys ain't heard nothing yet. You're like, ooh, tie into the Clone Wars. Interesting. Right? Mm-mm. How about the inevitable, indubitable, and ferocious? Dare I say, intriguing fate of the Gungan. Woo! Misa Judd. Misa starting pretty okey day in the Aftermath novel. No, so this is something that I just wanted to throw into the segment too, since we're doing spoilers. So I have not read any of this. I've just seen the headlines of new Star Wars Aftermath novel. This is from IO9. New Star Wars Aftermath novel reveals the pitiful fate of Jar Jar Binks. All right. That's from Jermaine Lucier, IO9. The debate is finally laid to rest. We're about to finally know what happened to Jar Jar Binks after Revenge of the Sith. So, I don't know what this is. I'm going to read it for the first time on air, and you're going to get my reaction. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
This is page 92 through 96 of the book, so you
Wait,
know right.
Two pages?
Know.
Two pages?
It's a whole interlude.
What? Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll read it. I'll read the story in a second. I've stood up from my stool. I'm now standing and prepared, so that if I have to sit down, I'll sit back down when I get blown away. But I feel like the best way to set up the story is to tell a sort of lyrical and fun tale of our time in the City of Lights, New York City. The debut trip Bethany and I made to New York Comic Con not this last October. It was a tragic day in some ways that we realized that there was not to be the amount of Star Wars programming that we would have hoped for. You know, New York Comic Con is famously in years past been the home of Star Wars Rebels, and they'd show like new episodes and there'd be a big official presence. Not this year, our first year going, and tragically there would not to be much presence. However, like a sparkling light on the horizon, we knew that Disney Press as well as all the good folks over at Del Rey would be putting on a big Star Wars author panel. So it was a small consolation prize. We'd get the latest details. And in the Star Wars panel, we live tweeted it. So imagine my surprise yesterday when I get someone, you know, you can quote a tweet, like respond to an embedding someone's previous tweet so that you have context. And someone, usually that happens with something you tweeted earlier in the day. Someone quoted a live tweet that we tweeted back in October. And it was just like, Chuck Wendig joked about how we're going to see Jar Jar Binks in Aftermath. Ha ha ha, isn't that funny? And that tweet's like, no, he actually did it. And I was just like, no, he didn't. No, he did not. No, but he did.
Best troll. He trolls you with truth. He's a Sith Lord. Brilliantly, man.
All right. So here we go. In the chapter, here's the spoilers straight from IO9. In the chapter, a young boy is walking around the city. Hang on. I can't do this. Give me a second. Let me just hang on.
Mappo.
Well, no, we need some atmospheric music.
Mappo.
All right. Now we're talking, right? How's that sound?
That's perfect.
In the chapter, a young boy is walking around the city and runs into an old Gungan performing on the streets. The boy introduces himself to the creature, and the creature responds, Misa Jar Jar. Jar Jar Binks has become a street performer. Talking to the boy, Jar Jar explains that he's making some mistakens in the past that led him here. Mistakes that the world harshly judged him for. You know, like giving Supreme Chancellor Palpatine emergency orders without consulting the senator for which he pretty much represented and was the second rung on Palpatine's ultimate rise to power. But he says...
You say that so much better than Jar Jar does.
Here's how Wendig set it up before giving you the reveal. Oh, wow, this is long. All right, hang on. I'm just going to say... whoa, this is... I was not expecting, like, 3 full paragraphs.
It's almost the whole interlude.
I mean... That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We just had to take a deep breath here. Some children started coming by and shitload as refugees. The Gungan had served them performing for the kids once or twice a day. He does tricks. He juggles and he falls over and shakes his head as his eye roll around inside their fleshy stalks. He makes goofy sounds and does strange little dances. Just imagine strange little dances of Jar Jar Binks right now, everybody. So terrible. This is so bad. Sorry, strange little dances. Repeated sometimes, the Gungan does different things you've never seen him, things you never see again. Just a few days ago, he splashed into the fountain center, then pretended to have the streams shoot him way up in the air. He leapt straight up and then back down with a splash. And he leapt up from a compass point to compass point, back and forth, before finally conking his head on the edge, plopping down his on his butt.
Yeah.
What did I just read?
No, that's actually straight up from the book, even.
Yeah.
The Gungan chuckled and dips his head in the fountain, filling his face with water. His bleak cheeks bulge. Mappo expects him to spit it out, but he doesn't. Instead, he seems to tighten his body. His neck tensions, and his eyes pop wide. Then water sprays from the Gungan's flappy ears. Psh! I mean, there's a couple different ones like this, but yeah. I mean, it is nuts. There's a great part where it's like, the clown, they call him. Bring him the clown. We want to see the clown. We like how he juggles gombo shells or spits fish up in the air then catches them. Or how he dances around and falls on his butt.
Hey, there's canon that Jar Jar has a butt.
But, no, you know, I mean, in all seriousness here, though, the saddest thing about this moment...
I know, this is actually kind of tragic.
No Gungans even speak to him. That, like, no! He's up in Theed. He's in Naboo in Theed. The Naboo don't talk to him because he's big uh-oh with the Empire, but the Gungans haven't... He hasn't spoke to a Gungan in years.
Oh my... That's just painful to hear. Poor fellow's just... He's a performing monkey! They're making him just... Oh! Cast to the worst possible... Fate.
Oh, wait, at the return of the Jedi at the end, wasn't that him up there on Naboo going, "We're so free"?
No, that was Matt Wood doing that voiceover. By the way, that was confirmed. You know, I want to read this last paragraph because it's truly tragic, and I need to change the mood here. All right. Here we go. On with the tragedy of Jar Jar Binks. The boy asks him, "Why doesn't anyone talk to him?" And Jar Jar responds, "Me no sure." The gun makes a hmm sound. Misa thinks it's cause Jar Jar making some mistakens. Big mistakens. Der Gunga bosses banished me long ago. Misa no been home in forevers. And Disa Heesen, Naboo, thinking I help the uh-oh Empire. I'm tearing up, guys.
Yeah, it's Wendig's finest.
Is it?
Wow. Is this, Riley, the first time you've read canon books? This very moment?
That would be the case, wouldn't it?
What?
He said, guys, I'm telling you, if this is the best...
I dropped my water bottle.
Well, wait, I don't really feel that bad for Jar Jar, because in all seriousness, where was Jar Jar before we met him in The Phantom Menace? He was already, like, kicked to the side by the Gungans and pushed out, and he really is back to where he was in the very beginning.
Yeah, it was always the Jedi that helped elevate him, and with no Jedi, he just fell to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a good point.
I'm still processing all of this, guys. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of... Aftermath!
We learn how Emperor Palpatine ties into things. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah... Aftermath, Empire's Inn's available February 2nd, everybody. I'm done. I'm just... Oh, I'm done. That's it. I was thinking of some kind of commentary or something, but that stands on its own, ladies and gentlemen. For everybody who stuck around, so that's everybody but Michael Morris... We'll see you guys. Mia, you know what? Come back this Thursday morning back on the podcast. We got Chris Perillo coming up. I can tell you one thing, Bruce. We're going to get up. I'm going to get up Tuesday morning to do the interview. I'm going to get up. I'm going to start a pretty okie dokie day with a brisky morning munchie. That's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
Sounds about right. We'll be right back. I love this. So good. That was all right. How do we feel about what just happened?
I don't know if anybody will actually get through the whole episode.